Okay, there you go.
All right, first thing, it's always first. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for all that you're doing in the world today. I thank you for just being there for us. Even when we don't see it, you're always there. You're always looking out for us. You always have the best intent for our lives and for the outcomes that surround us. Father, I know that all things work for the good that you have for us. And Lord, we just have to learn to be able to turn those things over to you, not pick them up. Walk in your love, and things turn around for us as we begin to actually resonate in the love that you have for us. And Father, I thank you for that, and I praise you for all that you're doing, all that you are. And even when we've turned away from you, you never turned your face away from us. And I thank you for that. Father, I thank you that you've always had a plan for us. You have a plan for each and every one of us. And I thank you. Lord, I ask that you bless everybody that's on this call tonight. And Lord, I just ask that you give them peace beyond understanding, that they just have no understanding of the peace that comes and the joy that is in their heart, and that you are the one that provides. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today has been an awesome day. And the reason is because I chose for it to be. And the other day we had a small chat, and it was on Kelly's channel, and it was really, really great. It was personable. I planned on spending about an hour there, ended up spending 3 hours. It was really awesome. I had a great time, and it was just a really, really great talk. Well, of course, exactly what happened. There was things that we talked about having choice and being able to choose to whether be upset or to let things get in your business to make you upset, and that you have a choice on how you respond to those and how you deal with them afterwards. And I kid you not, the very next morning, first thing in the morning, it was raining, it was miserable outside, it was flooding at work, and it just started off horrible. And then there's a guy that is at work that is, he's actually kind of a nuisance to people, and he gets under people's skin really big time. And so this individual had actually, over the last day or so, kind of been kind of like picking and wanting me to bite, never did. And then that same morning, I was walking away from him after I was ignoring him, and he just went off on me. And my reflexes almost hit him, and it was a really bad situation, because at my job, if you even lay hands on somebody, no matter what, you're fired. There's no excuse, there's no reason behind it, even to defend yourself, whatever. And it was like, it was a really bad situation. Well, anyway, I walked away from it. Afterwards, I talked to my boss, said I didn't want this individual around me anymore because of the threat that he poses to me in the security of my job. And I don't want him around anymore. And I feel that you guys have to deal with this. It's not my problem anymore. And he was supposed to be in a position to help me with what's coming up in the next week or so. And it could have been a really bad situation. Well, later on that day, I thought to myself those same things that I was sitting outside, I was stewing, I was mad, and I was like, you know what? This is not good for you. This is not the way you were intending to have this day. You need to let this go. It's going to eat you up. You're going to have a miserable day, and then it's going to start affecting the people around you. And so I started to just let it go, and I turned it over to the Lord. And as the day went on, you know, I did still feeling better and stuff. But also I thought about it afterwards, and I was like, you know, this individual, he's probably going through some stuff at home. He's probably having issues, and you know, I need to forgive him for whatever his situation is, and I need to go back tell my boss that I will work with him. I will allow that situation to go forward because it was going to make a major upset within our schedule, our scheduling. It was going to be a really bad situation that I was putting my boss in because of this individual. Well, I came to my boss and said, hey, listen, I understand everybody's tired. We've been through a lot. He's probably gone through a lot. There's things I don't know. And, you know, I forgive him. It's okay. I'll work with him. I just want you to know that I understand the situation that you're in, and I'm going to do everything I can to help you guys not have to deal with this situation, and we'll go forward. And I kid you not, my day got better, the people around me got better, and even that individual actually had lost the kind of attitude that he was kind of carrying around, and even other people had kind of noticed it. So if you think those are just words and people are just saying them, or you're just saying them, you're gonna get tested in them, and how are you gonna actually go through it? Everything is basically a test in one way or another. And if you pass, you pass. If you don't, guess what? You're going to get to go through it again and again and again and again and again until you actually finally get through it. And so I just want to encourage every single one of you, when things are bad or things are going south, just like I said the other day and today, is that if somebody crosses you, don't necessarily just respond and react negatively. We never know what other people are going through. And right now, times are so stressful with everybody and everything. We're all going through something. May not be the same thing, but we're all going through something. And just try to put the other people's shoes on, even if you don't know, and give them grace. And when you begin to give people grace, it actually does start to change things. And I do want to just encourage people that I know things are difficult. I know things are crazy in the world, and everything in the world is left is right and up is down and backwards, forwards, and everything is crazy. But just don't let that get to you. Put those things behind you. Focus on God. Focus on the things that are good, and allow the good to resonate in your heart and the love that you have for anything, and allow that to begin to be what comes out of you instead of the other, because the other is nasty and ugly, and it actually attracts the same thing. It's kind of like that misery loves company thing. And so if you're going to walk around stewed off, upset, mad, that's what's going to be attracted to you. And it's going to get just worse. So I just wanted to encourage everybody before we get started that if you start to have this, it's gonna come across your path that you're gonna get challenged in all of these areas that you're trying to walk in. Just recognize those trials and try to respond to them and not react, because reacting causes negative output from it. And when you try to respond to it in kindness and love, you have a different reaction altogether. So with that, Kelly, do you have anything? Emily, do you have anything to get started? I enjoyed your Q&A earlier today. I spent about an hour there. There were some really good topics and questions that were answered. And as well, do you guys have anything before we actually start opening up for questions?
No, I don't. If Emily does.
All right. I think she might have got kicked out. Yep.
Okay, I didn't get a chance to listen to hers, but I'm sure it's recorded. I will listen to it this evening after the chat.
Yeah, it was good. So let's go ahead and we'll just start with questions and whatever's on your mind, we'll go from there. It's Friday night, it's open night, just whatever's whatever, and we're good. We're just gonna have a talk.
Okay, we're gonna start with the Q Patriot. Oh, just disappeared. Nick Gaston. Nick, you're muted.
Yes, ma'am. Everybody hear me?
Yep, we got you.
All right. Hey, Cap Cow. Pleasure. Thanks, everybody. Got a question. I was just on the decodes yesterday with Emily and everybody, and I was quite surprised about nobody understanding or comprehending who Reggie Middleton is. And through all of this stuff, I've been researching for quite a long time. And everything I'm seeing now with XLM, XRP, looking at the XX maps, you know, everybody putting everything together, you know, RV, GCR. Where does Reggie Middleton fit into this? He has the patent for tokenization. He has the patent for gold-backed coins. What? You have to, like, there's no way they can just push this man out to the side and just roll over him like he didn't create any of this. When literally in December, they just gave him the patent in the United States, since he's been waiting since 2014, I believe. And in Japan, he has the patent as well in Japan. So there has to be like some type of like, they have to bring him into this somehow, right?
I would assume so, but how he fits into the puzzle, we probably won't find out until, you know, later on, because what happens when you start finding out the players and what's involved and how much they have at stake in the overall scheme of things, it actually not just puts them at risk with individuals that may be corrupt, but it also with people that are, say, very low level individuals that basically could actually do harm to an individual just based on the facts of they don't want something, they don't want change, and they go after an individual that way. It's kind of like, you know, the guy just the other day that had a patent on the water-based engine, right? And
Ryan, Ohio,
that's he ends up dead. Yeah, you know, he ends up dead. Same thing happened back, you know, several years ago in the early 2000, when an individual actually, same thing, created a G, it was like a sand rail that basically did the same type of, it turned water into hydrogen and hydrogen into fuel, exported actual vapor, water vapor, right? And so this individual was on the news. You can actually research it, where he was on all kinds of news channels. He said he wasn't interested in the patents for it or anything as far as turning them over, and that the military and other installations were actually looking at those things to find out how they could apply them. And lo and behold, not too long after this, the man ends up dead and the whole thing just disappears. So the corruption on the advancement of technologies is exponentially bad. From what happened with Tesla, same thing. They waited till he died, and after the man dies, they come in, take all of his stuff, which they actually had him under heavy, heavy guarded surveillance 24/7, waiting for him to actually die. The second he dies, the FBI comes in and gathers up every piece of documentation and information that the man owns. So this has been a collective effort to suppress technology and to suppress people from being able to be set free from the ensnarement of that trap that they've installed upon us, where if you had free energy, what control would they have over you? If you had basically all your utilities free, what control would they have over you? None. So let's put some kind of meter on it. Let's put it under wires. Let's put it under control. And if you don't pay or you don't act right, we're cutting you off. Right. And
so exactly
that kind of mentality is what we have been dealing with for the last 100+ years. And they're not just going to just give it up, but it's being taken from them, whether they like it or not. But you always have to be cautious about the people that take things into their own hands. Where I know that I actually had an individual back some time ago cut the brakes on my vehicle. Who it was, I don't know, but they brought it to my house. And could it have been somebody that just didn't like what I was saying, or was it targeted? I don't know that, but it could have been either one. So how people fit into the whole picture and the puzzle, we'll find these things out later. But right now it's more trying to just keep our eyes on the things that are going on as far as information wise.
And more the show at large.
Yes, and stay up in the clouds, because then you can see the whole playing field. They want you to get down in the weeds and stay down there. And what happens is you can't see the forest for the trees because of that. And so I don't get down in the weeds. If people want to talk crap, let them talk it. I don't care. But what's going to happen is they're going to actually reap what they have sown. And it is not going to be good.
See, and I think that's kind of what's going on with Cliff High. And I love Cliff High. He's guided me through so many things, especially this past pandemic that we've been going through. And, you know, but at right now, he's poo-pooing everything XRP. I just think he's a little bit grounded and can't see that 50,000 foot view of what's going on. And even in his stuff, when he's talking about the web bot and the predictions that have come with that, right, which he's been so on with that, he's talked about Reggie Middleton. The government eventually comes to talk to Reggie Middleton for voting and to implement the Veritasium protocols and the stuff he's been working on with the patent into the system. So I'm like, ooh, how can that fit with XLM and XRP and Hedera Hashgraph, which Reggie Middleton just confessed the other day, Hedera Hashgraph doesn't fit his patent. Everything pretty much as far as the blockchains, they all fit his patent except for Hedera Hashgraph, which just blew my mind. I'm like, how is that different? You know, and all these things are just intertwined and intercircling of how they intersect with each other.
Absolutely. So yeah, just remember always, like, keep it up in the 40,000 foot mark. You can always see a better playing field it that way. And as things start to unfold, just like you were saying, you get more pieces to the puzzle and it starts painting a better picture for you over the overall scheme of it. Then understanding things that are important to it will eventually unfold, and as those are around, it even brings more truth to it. So that's kind of what we're doing is what you're just staying up, watching everything and kind of disseminating between these things and how do they all fit together or don't fit together. Gotcha. And some things are disinformation on purpose, not right. For the dissuading of people or the trying to, like, you know, set up criminals or so on and so forth. But things may not be prepared yet. And until something is prepared, it's always best look over here, don't over here, until we're ready for it.
Exactly. I mean, Cliff High, one of the things he's always said back in the day is, I was hatched. I wasn't born, because his dad was a general in the 101st Airborne, I believe. And he's been talked to several times, as he's stated as well, by the government telling him, you're not allowed to talk about this, you're not allowed to talk about that. And certain things he had to put in certain ways. But I really would like to hear what you have to say about CTGX, how it's being used as a weapon to take out Bitcoin, all the things that involve that way, and what happened in this last couple days with that.
So with that, you have to look at the overall history. The overall history is very stable and it's going somewhere. And the underlying truth behind it all is that when you're trying to get in on something in the very beginning of its roots of where it's going and what it's doing, if you're looking at it on a day in, day out basis type situation, you're missing the boat. You want to get into something that like that, and when it dips, get more. I bought more. Why? Because I know that the overall plan for it is huge. So its whole operability is massive. So it dips, go the other way, buy. Why? Because that's your opportunity to get more. This is my own personal, and this is what I did today, is I purchased more. Why? Because it's going to turn back around. And when it turns back around, I'm not looking to get out of it. I'm looking at what it's going to do over the next 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. That's my actual goal. And the things that I'm actually setting myself up for is not the day-to-day. That's the weeds. Stay out of the weeds. Stay up in the top. Look at it. It's a sound investment. And if you're looking at it from down in the weeds, then you're going to get consumed by it. So I would just say, when things like that happen, go the opposite way. Because why? People are getting out because they're panic selling. And as people
blood in the water
sell, you know, then get in when it's going down, when it's going down. Why? Because then when it starts to turn around, those same people are going to go, oh my God, I shouldn't have got out. What did I do? And then they jump right back in. They do this. That same kind of mentality has been being manipulated within the stock market forever, ever.
Human emotion, right?
That's right. Take emotions out and do it through logic. When it goes down, by those people, the individuals think that, oh my God, what did I do? It's on its way back up, and then they jump back in. And when you're doing that back and forth, then yeah, you're probably gonna lose. But if you can do it on, you know, stay on top of it, then maybe you might make a buck or two. But I'm in the long haul for everything. I'm not in this for, you know, I'm in for generational transfer of wealth. And I'm not looking at for this as some day trading thing. Or if I'm looking at it day by day like that, then it's going to affect me emotionally. Because, oh my God, I lost so much. No, you didn't lose nothing. The day you sell is the day you lose. And as long as you didn't sell it, then you ain't lost anything. You still own the assets. They just have a different value today, only today or tomorrow. But what are they going to be next month or next year? Always be someone that plays the long game, and majority of the time you'll end up a winner. So I appreciate with, your input, man.
Oh, it's all good, really, brother. I'm here like everybody else. I've been in this game for 15 years with GCR, so long time just sitting here. And like, I commend everybody just like me who's been holding on their dinar and their Zim, all that stuff, and just waiting for the game to play out. But one more thing. I was talking to a buddy of mine today about that as well, CTGX and the hack that they went through. I was like, oh, those idiots, they really try to take them out. All they did was just put a giant tracking device right on their forehead saying, come get me.
They expose themselves. They expose themselves because it is traceable back to the spot where you came from.
Exactly. And like, even Binance breaking contractual obligations, all the dumbest things. I'm like, hold on, doesn't that fit under the executive orders as well for breaking human rights? Isn't my right to control my own currency? So now are they about to get owned as well?
Well, I already feel like they already are.
Ah, got you.
So think about that, because they were already corrupt to begin with. That's why a lot of people questioned whether or not what side that they were on in the beginning of it all. A lot of these organizations and finance, banking, and a lot of these entities were actually set up starting back in 2014, 2015, 2016 on Stellar becoming the new stock market, but with their president being Clinton, and with them being able to control everything and being able to do the actual reset in the way that they wanted, where they did actually have the digital asset being controlled, they could shut you off, turn you on. So that whole thing with Bitcoin and all of that on the decentralization was a setup for them being able to take control over everything. But in reality, the white hats have come in taking all of their platforms and their actual setup and then flipped it on its head. And now you have stuff, you have things in it that are a part of from the Clinton Foundation and things of that nature, but that's not a corrupt organization within that framework anymore. So if you look at it from what it was to what it's going to be, it's kind of like this. What was the FEMA camp's intent back in 2015, 2010, 2011, when they were doing Jade Helm and all that? Those bad boys were for us. But guess what? Those things are now going to be used for them, and everything is going to be flipped on its head from what they intended for things to be to what they are. So it's really easy for those naysayers and the people out there that want to try to say, oh, well, this ain't going to happen. This is a corrupt, this is bad. And yeah, it was until the executive orders took them down.
Is that the same thing for the World Economic Forum as well and their smart cities? I know there was a bit of this conversation that came in yesterday on the Decode page about the different stuff that China's been setting up since 2004. And I see that the World Economic Forum is starting their first smart city in San Antonio. And I know since 99, the UN has had big plans for San Antonio and different things they've been doing, bringing in immigrants and everything else.
So the smart cities were intent to be a control mechanism to get people into the cities. But the way that it's been turned on its head is that smart cities will now be something that is of economic value to the people themselves, as well as the connectivity to it. When you start talking that now we're going to have that in the quantum matrix and not on their supercomputer matrix, where the quantum is something that is based in love and goodwill, where you can't manipulate it at all for any purposes. So now you have something that is something that's not going to be there for the controllability of people, but for the actual economic benefit of those people and all the good that could actually come from it without the controlling nature assigned with it. So there again, that's that left being right and right being left, and everything's going to get switched on its head from what they were intended to be to what it's going to be going forward. That's why XX has actually put a lot of that information out, showing how those things are connected within the blockchain, within all of the new technology that's coming, and that's all for the betterment of society overall. So
it's beautiful.
Yes, it is. Man, I appreciate those. Man, those are great topics. I want to get to some other people, but you know what? A lot of people have just benefited from this conversation. So we'll do it again, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. Kelly?
Yes. Next person is Dan. Dan, you're muted. Dan,
you have to unmute yourself now.
How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We got you.
Good. My question is with the RV. I know that it is event driven, and I know you can't give dates. Do you think it's going to be any closer?
Well, it is it's not necessarily closer, but it's not necessarily further away either. All the things that we're leading and going through right now are taking us up to that doorstep of availability of when could it happen. It's not, in my opinion, from a lot of very trusted individuals that I speak with and information that's out there that we can all find, that in my opinion, I don't believe that it will happen before we go into Protocol 19. And the reason being is because Protocol 19 actually implements the ISO 222. And so until those protocols actually get established in the blockchain sequence and throughout all of that technology moving forward, you really can't push out the RV. And the reason that I'm saying that is because the RV and the digital assets are one and the same. You cannot do one without the other. And you're not going to release that kind of liquidity and financial money if it's going to be at risk with the fiat or the having the protocols not actually in place and implemented. But those protocols and the implementation of them does not mean that it has to be everywhere all at one time. Meaning some countries can be a little bit behind as far as the implementation of the protocols, but that doesn't mean that their stability is not right there on the cusp of happening as well. So it could happen here in the United States, then in Europe, then in Asia, and throughout the world over a period of time of, it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be 2 months on the full implementation of Protocol 19 and what's going on with the financial banking system, right? It's already established and in place as far as with the banking and with all of that connectivity within it. So we're looking at a few small details from certain countries actually being able to get some things worked out. And as those things get worked out, they do not have to be completed. So as they're being worked out, that implementation can happen all of a sudden. It's kind of like back in the 70s when Nixon said that we're going to the petrodollar. How did that happen? Well, it happened all of a sudden where nobody knew it was happening. All of a sudden it was a press conference. The statements were made. The deals were already cut and done behind the scenes with Saudi Arabia, gold for protection, and the contracts, and that if you wanted to actually purchase oil off of the market, it had to be done in the dollar to give the dollar linking to oil that gave it the ability to continue down the fiat path so that the bankers could continually profit from the inflationary track that they were on already. Because if you go back and you look at how fast inflation actually took off from the 60s to basically the year 2000, it was incredible how little the dollar actually started to have purchasing power. But how did they hide that? They gave you more of it. Why? Because they were just printing it. It wasn't based on anything of actual asset value. All it did was tie that dollar to oil and gave the control over oil to the Saudis and the US.
Okay, so do you think that event-driven for Protocol 19 You pick any, it is based on any event?
The protocol 19 is not necessarily based off of an event, but the actual RV and when it all actually goes down. Yeah. So you could have, like, say protocol, they're doing the public vote. I think it's June the 8th. And it's actually being implemented that day. So Friday, the following day on, I don't know what day it is. It could be a Friday, it could be a Saturday. It doesn't really matter. But the very following day, you could have the RV. I doubt it, but it could happen. Things are going to start being implemented relatively quickly as the protocols actually go in and actually start taking effect. Why do I say that? Because they've actually already been tested on. They've been tested a couple of times already. I think a while back on Monday, not this past Monday, but a while back on a Monday, they were doing actual protocol 19 testing where they were actually turning on some protocols, watching how they actually functioned, and then, you know, pulling back from them. So the implementation is pretty much there. A lot of these things that we're witnessing has already been prepared and are there. It's when is the right time for implementation, and nobody knows. Nobody. There's not a person, as far as outside of probably less than 10 people, that actually know when that trigger is going to get pulled. And until then, it's going to be live every day like it's the day and live prepared. There's going to be events that take place. We're going to have stock market issues. We're going to have the digital asset issues. Things have already been described that we're going to potentially lose the digital assets for up to 3 days and not have the availability to them. Is that, I believe that that's a possibility. I don't know how much of that is a reality, but it lines up with other information. The stock market itself, it's going to go to nothing. How are they going to disguise it? Most likely it's going to be disguised through a cyber attack, and it's how they're going to potentially explain it, and that it's vulnerable to the cyber attacks. They've already been talking about the vulnerability, and I'm not talking about within our circles. I'm talking about within the mainstream media. And not only that, but they've been talking about it as that the stock market is got to do a course correction. They're warning people. So if people stay there, it's their own fault. So even the mainstream media is sitting out there telling people that it's potentially 50% overvalued. They've been saying it for up to 6 months or more. So when these events actually take place, they're going to be world events on a global scale that you're not going to go, is this the event? You're going to know this is the event, or these are the events that we've been waiting for, and have an expectation of internet outage, not being able to access your finances, potentially rolling outages with electricity. All these things are going to happen, just we don't know when. So just live day by day, somewhat prepared to be able to get through it better than those that are not prepared, because the military will be there to supplement those that are not. But if you don't have to partake in that because you're already prepared, then it's going to make you getting through those times a whole lot easier. And then those people that have thought you were nuts are going to start to come to you going, how did you know? What made you know these things? What do you know? And then they're going to start wanting to actually know the stuff that you have been trying to tell them, but they've just been turned off to it.
Hey, Captain Kyle, can I add to what you're saying a second ago?
Thank you for your...
Yeah, hold on just a second. Yeah, Emily, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to add on to it because what Captain Kyle is saying is absolutely correct. And guys, like, remember that, you know, if you have business or operational background, then this is going to make a lot of sense to you. Whenever you say that, you know, today is the deadline to launch something, it means you had to have done a lot of back testing before that so that when you launch it, everything's already squared away. There's no more guesswork involved. And so when they said that they were starting to do the testing for Protocol 19 on May 9th, then we knew that before May 9th, it was actually already done. Because there's no way that the SDF, which, you know, the QFS and Jacera is you know, reliant on Protocol 19 and on Stellar, right? Like, just like what Captain Kyle is saying, you can't have one without the other. You cannot have the RV without Stellar. So they're not going to give themselves only 1 month to do testing to see if everything pans out by June 8th. It means all the testing was done before the quote-unquote public test date of May 9th. And a couple confirmations of that is, and it's not just, you know, how normal business operates, but if we think back to Protocol 18, which was the public vote for that was November 3rd of last year. But before November 3rd came along, I was already seeing, you know, things in the decks as early as September and October showing that Protocol 18, which was AMMs and liquidity pools, was already coming into play, right? So like 1 to 2 months before the actual public vote, I was seeing confirmation in the decks, confirmation in Lobster that it was already being tested and already being worked on. And then another great confirmation is, I can't remember the date of it, guys, but it would have been within like the last 2 or 3 weeks. So, you know, sometime in the month of May, there was an SDF call and it was a tech talk. And it had Dave Mazieres, Justin Rice, I think Tomer Weller might have been on there, Lay something, and then another guy, I can't remember his name, but it was like, you know, 4 or 5 different people, all from the SDF.
That was around the 15th or 16th, I think.
Thank you. So if you guys haven't seen that, please watch that because it's like 4 or 5 guys from the SDF, mostly from the tech side, right? Because it's a tech talk. And they were throwing all these questions out about, you know, well, what if this scenario, what if that scenario? And I kid you not, you have to watch it because you will crack up. David Mazieres and Justin Rice are like laughing half the time. They're like trying to hide their giggles and their smiles because the commentary is so stupid and the questions are so stupid that it's like, I'm trying to think of an example. It's like they're asking, well, what if you know, we can do this or that? And they're kind of going back and forth as if this stuff has not been solved already. And it's like, guys, you're halfway through the quote-unquote testing period. These are the conversations you have before you even launch it, right? Before you even do the testing. This is like, you know, what you would have talked about months, if not years ago. So it just shows that all of that was for a show because we're all just watching a movie at this point. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Emily. Absolutely. All right, Kelly.
Yes, I'm sorry. Let's see, Cindy Wood. Cindy, you're unmuted. Cindy, you have to unmute yourself.
There, I got it. How are you today?
I'm great.
How is everybody?
Yes, all good.
Good. I got 2 questions. They're real quick. One, are all banks compliant right now?
No.
Okay. Because I'm at Fifth Third and I don't think they are compliant yet.
It's okay. And, you have nothing to worry about. If the bank that you're actually using is not compliant, the one that is in your immediate area will be, most of those are going to be credit unions that are already compliant. They've already have the actual personal banking already inside of them that's set up with the Quantum. It's already installed inside the facility. So if your bank does not, then it will be a quick and easy transfer of your assets into a Quantum account wherever you actually choose to actually go into, because that
we belong that actual, to a, we belong to a credit union too, so that'll help. Another question, Indus payments.com. We can't get in there anymore to look, get into that, to buy any of it on there anymore on Lobster.
Yes. And so that's just been some hanky panky that's been going on with some Lobster situations, along with some, the guy that it was discussed, I think earlier today, and Emily had a post on her channel. I think it was Emily's channel about the guy is the founder or the creator of Lobster or something like that. He's pro Ukraine. He's a very liberal individual, and that, you know, they're actually doing these reports that are out there and causing the scam reports and things of that nature. But then the real scams that are out there and that they know of, they're not actually reporting on. And so
that is IndusPayment.com. That one is on there. Everyone is under IndusPayment.com. That's what it's under.
So once Protocol 19 actually comes into play, then the true assets and the true actual tokens that are out there will actually begin to show back up or have accessibility back to them, as far as you being able to get back into them
and start buying the ones that we haven't bought yet.
Yes, and the ones that actually are the fraudulent will, they'll start being pulled off there, and they could actually, we could go to bed one night, wake up the next morning, and half of them could be gone. I don't know how quick it's going to be, but in my opinion, it's a fairly easy and quick thing when we have the Quantum that's actually been tracking all of this. Most of it's been a setup and a sting operation to see who and what's been doing what within the system. And as soon as there's been any kind of hanky panky, so to speak, it's going to be under a scalpability fairly quickly.
Well, I tell you what, another one that's hard is that VEREB, that, oh my God, they got every letter in the to change it. And it's like so hard to figure out which one is which.
I do understand it. Just make sure that it's the exact right one, and going by the, you know, and those other fraudulent tokens and coins will, you know, they'll all go away because their intent was set up to defraud individuals, not to make money out there, to defraud them. And that goes 110% against the operating usage, as well as 110% against the Quantum in its nature. So they're 100% vulnerable to being removed.
What I did is I went through every single one of them, and I found out which ones I had bad, and I just switched my money or switched my tokens over to my good ones. So is that a good way to do it?
Amen. It is. And then clear that asset, get rid of the asset that's a bad one.
And that's what I did.
And why it's still there, and you can have that ability to do it. And then when it goes bye-bye, it's like, no, too soon. Bye-bye.
Oh, God. And it's really
you're
tough,
ahead of the game. I mean, so
you really have to watch. Wow. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, guys, don't forget that, you know, Captain Kyle mentioned that this is all a sting operation, and it absolutely is. And one thing that we've learned since April was that the White Hats are working to make sure that people who have what we call mercenary consciousness are not part of this massive, massive wealth transfer, guys, because this is the kind of wealth that changes humanity and changes people's lives for generations and generations. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to minimize the people who only want to have this for their own greedy purposes and who don't have like the true humanitarian intention behind them. And so as those people are FUDing out and creating FUD for other people, they're all getting flagged in the background. So if you, you know, if you've gotten out of it, then they're going to make it really, really hard for you to get back into it because you didn't have the faith. You didn't stay with the plan. And then those who are still in it, who are, you know, dark entities, black hat actors, stuff like that, they are definitely being tracked. I know that for a fact. I've been talking to the team that's doing the tracking on them. So all will be right in the end. If you do have good intentions and you know you really, really want to get into the assets, you can. There are workarounds for that. I know we've been posting them. WIP has as well. I'm pretty sure Captain Kyle has as well. And if you do have, you know, more questions on how to actually, like, you can't find it, can't figure it out, then feel free to come onto our channel. And we have tons of people who can help out with that as well.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Emily.
Okay, the next up is Jimmy. Jimmy, you're unmuted.
Jimmy? Remember, you got to unmute yourself. Hey, guys, how are you? Good. Hey, I was just curious, as you search to see everything go on in the public view with Biden and the, you know, the fake shenanigans that goes on there, I'm just wondering, what relationship does that happen with the Protocol 19 and 20? When do we start to see more of the truth come out, especially around what's going on with the Hillary Clinton case? I want to get your perspective on that, because obviously I feel like part of that is to create a distraction while the financial side of things is being kind of produced and created.
So once we actually get into Protocol 19, then that's going to be where we're actually in the arrest and correction stages to eliminate those individuals. So it could go relatively quick, like we've talked about before. Nobody has any kind of timeline on Protocol 19. And we know Protocol 20 is potentially closer towards the end of the year. That's the full implementation of the quantum matrix, right? That's the, all the patents, that's the med beds. Everything will be 100% released in Protocol 20, or begin to be, right? And relatively quickly. Why? Because they already have med beds. They already have the technology. These technologies have been being worked on for years. They don't just, we're releasing it, now we got to all of a sudden make it. So I've heard a lot of channels out there saying that once they get the release of the protocols, then that's going to release the money that they need to actually start manufacturing off, and then it's going to be another 6 months to a year. No, that's not how it works. They've actually been doing this and manufacturing the actual true med beds for years now. So they were a part of, well, that was one of the individual companies. There was five that I believe that were the initial companies that were involved in that. Ford was one of them. And they used the executive orders for under the pandemic on making these companies actually be able to produce them, but also do it in state secrets where they had no choice behind it. The funding is unlimited as far as what needs to be there to make come to pass. But you're also talking about, you cannot say one word about it to anyone, period. Why? It's under national security, and that's a treasonous act. And they warn you 110%. You get a leak, and not only will you be, you know, completely prosecuted, you will actually have punitive damages on top of that for they make it to where you just, you're not going to say a word to nobody. And if it means you talking to your wife about it because she doesn't know, you're be really cautious about even opening up to another individual, no matter how bad it was. So, yeah, well, you could, they've been manufacturing these things for years now.
Yeah, and you could just tell that a lot of, I've just never understood how nothing's leaked out. It's been absolutely amazing. I have one more quick question. You and I talked about last time, Project Odin. You know, I actually have I have a company that does digital advertising online. And so, and when I read everything on Whiplash and it says, you know, Facebook going to be killed, you know, Google killed, all of those things. What happens to businesses like mine that does, you know, that does that? Do you feel like that goes away because of the quantum system doesn't really need that kind of business anymore? If everything's done by the quantum system, therefore we don't really need to be advertised to simply because our thoughts and feelings, you know, drive with the Q phones could drive what we want to view and see.
Not necessarily. Okay. So there will be still the ability for opportunities for purchasing and for advertisement, but the advertisement will not be used in a manipulative way because they've been using the power of advertising for the ability to bombard people, to actually use certain parts of it to trigger actually mental stimulant that they've actually been researching, testing, and causing people to impulse buy, that won't be a possibility. So yes, there will be the opportunity for people to still have advertising because we're going to need to know about different products and different things, but it's going to be in a fact-based type of situation, but not on this misleading type advertisement, like this is the only thing and this is the best thing, and that, you know, if you don't get this, then you're going to be screwed, right? It's not going to be with that kind of mentality. It's going to be with, this is a product. It's good. These are the goods that come with it. These are possibly the cons that are with it. And is it good for you, right? Where it allows that customer to be able to make a actual informed decision where it's not leaving out, you know, parts of it. It's kind of like the advertising for cigarettes, right? Yeah. They intentionally made it look like it was like if you smoked cigarettes, you were like a rock star, right? But they didn't tell you all of the damaging effects to it and the testing that was done for them to actually make it very, very addictive. And they chose to leave that out. Well, that won't be a possibility going forward.
Yeah, companies will have to live in truth, right? And put truth
absolutely
out. Right.
Yeah. So you will still have that opportunity, but in a truthful and honest type scenario.
That's where companies like VeChain may come in, right? To be able to create the transparency of really where the product came from and what it does.
It may. We don't really know all those, you know, what's possible, but the future is unlimited when we start talking about something that is a completely new and revolutionary way of doing business.
Agreed. It's
so
very
opportunities
exciting.
Are unlimited opportunities are unlimited for you, so
very, very exciting. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, next up is Jamie. Let's see, I lost you. Peacemaker G. Peacemaker, you're muted. Peacemaker, you have to unmute yourself.
Hey, Kyle, I was going to tell you that, but when you talked, it resonated with me good a little while ago when you said about the they've been advertising in Louisiana that we're going to be getting rolling blackouts. So go figure that one, huh?
And so what is that? That's predictive programming. So, you know, a lot of times they tell you things that they're planning for you, whether they're negative or something that they're wanting you to experience. and they start setting that narrative up to the public well before it ever comes out, whether it's like a kind of a movie or an event that takes place, and then they start setting the stage so the public can start digesting it. So when it those things do start happening, then they're like, well, you know, we kind of warned you about these things, and this is what we were expecting, and they kind of leads you down that road where they were already telling you that that was going to happen, man.
Yeah, and that, but the good thing about it is that it's finally, I'm starting to get to some of them red pilling a little bit more, because now the crap that I've been telling them, they start to slowly trickle, you know, here and there with it. So it's actually been working good every time I you can hear something like that.
You know, I really do appreciate that, that when you hear that, you know, you're starting to make progress with people. But always remember that these events of things that happen, whether it just be in your local area or whether it be nationally or whether it be globally, they're going to be the things that finally are what cause people to have that aha moment, right? And as they have that aha moment, then they're going to be more susceptible to hearing those truths from you, as well as they've been hearing them, but they kind of ignored them. So they'll start having those conversations with you, even when you're not actually the one provoking it. Remember that. They're coming.
Y'all have a good night, Kyle. Thank y'all. Thank you, Michelle, Kelly.
Thank you, Peacemaker. Next up is Jamie. Jamie, you're unmuted.
Go ahead and unmute yourself.
G'day, I'm Jamie. Can I jump in?
Absolutely, come on.
Oh, cool. Hey, Captain Kyle, how are you?
Good.
Nice to be on.
Where are you from?
And
Yeah,
I'm from Sydney, Australia.
Awesome.
And I've been watching you guys for a while, Emily as well, and the whole gang, really, Whiplash and Mel and all that good stuff. Everyone's really amazing, very enlightening. I wanted to share, if you don't mind, please let me know if it's not appropriate. I watched Donald Trump today, and I do decodes on Gematria, and he said something quite interesting in relation to XRP. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, I'll try not to be too, I'll be quick. He said he was talking about fuel prices in the States, and he said $9.25. And I thought that was interesting. So I always write things down if something pops in my mind. And that came to the numbers of 352. And that comes out is a man who puts the serpents in fear, 352. XRP Ledger Consensus Protocol, 352. Money Laundering Trust Account, 352. The king who is holding the key of David, 352.
Oh my
what
God.
Is the meaning of all this gematria, 352? Interesting. So I thought I'd just share a few of those with you, and I kind of thought there's a lot of gematria that reveals a lot of stuff about XRP, Ripple exploding, all this kind of stuff, XRP, World Reserve Currency. I've had a lot of that come up time and time again. So anyway, I thought I'd just like to share that with you guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And so whenever, you know, this is kind of the gematria thing that, yes, it's used in them actually putting out a little bit of information as far as, you know, there are nuggets that are out there, right? And so they'll drop some nuggets along with the other parts of information that they're talking about. And if those actually coincide or lead to something that is actually taking place, then you can kind of put a little bit of stock more into it. The gematria itself has been something that's been used for a long period of time as far as to, you know, give a somewhat of a decode. But you have to be very careful about the actual kind of gematria that you use, the lettering, the format that's behind it, and you have to know which one is being kind of used. It's like if I was telling you a code, but you were using the wrong actual application to it, then it may not come through with what we were actually talking about. It's kind of like that key, right? And always, you know, I love to listen to everything. I like to listen to, I mean, those tie in very well with the things that are actually taking place right now, right? And, you know, is it a possibility that he's telling us exactly the same things? I would say yes. But, you know, always remember that we're trying to just get the nuggets out of things. And if he's trying to let us know that XRP and all that's, you know, right here on the doorstep, I would say that you're barking in the right tree there. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, man.
You too, man. Kelly?
Yes, sir. Let's see. Susan Donaldson. Susan, you're muted. Susan, you have to unmute yourself. Okay, we'll go to the next person.
Hello?
Yes,
yep,
Susan.
We got you.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks. Hi, Captain Kyle. Thank you for doing the call tonight. I learned so much from you and Emily and Whip and everyone. I had a quick question, and hopefully it's a little bit different than any of them so far. But I have been waking up to hearing an advertisement on the radio, and it's about federal IRS, that they're doing a huge hiring. And I think it was in the Kansas City area. I'm in the Omaha, Nebraska, Iowa border area, but this was on iHeartRadio or whatever. But I thought the IRS Fed was going away. Do you know anything about that? Why they would be hiring like entry level and they're like, bring your resume, hiring on spot. I just thought that was odd. Just wanted to see if you knew anything, why they would be doing that.
So, yeah, let me ask you a couple of questions. Okay.
Sure.
That's going to make you think about something.
Okay.
All right. So if the IRS is supposedly going away, which in reality, the IRS that we knew is going away.
Okay, good.
But now, if that is actually being under the umbrella of the Treasury Department, and we're going to go under a flat tax, and the actual taxation is going to be through corporate tax, that implementation has to have employees.
Well, I thought of that, and when, you know, everything you read says that the current IRS people will be going under the Treasury, why would they need more? I would think that that alone would be, but so you're saying that it's still not sufficient and that is what they're gearing up for?
I would say highly likely.
I hope so.
And that the IRS is no more as we knew it. They're not going to be this harassment organization that goes out and tries to collect your money. Their implementation is going to be under the Treasury Department, as well as the Secret Service, all of the structure, the way it used to be, is going to come back pre-1871 Act.
Oh, wow.
And in doing so, then yes, we will need actual people to operate and work in the IRS under that structure. How many employees do they need? I don't know. Are they hiring a different set of employees of what they do?
Right.
So that's things that we don't know.
Well, that's great news, because this is the first year that I had did an extension on our taxes. And my husband, even though he loves President Trump and everything, I'm that odd person in the family that everybody thinks is, you know, over the top. So he was nervous that I was doing an extension on our taxes, but I keep telling him because it's going away and they don't exist. And, you know, so that's a good answer. I was hoping you were going to say, I appreciate it.
So to a little bit more follow up to that, when the IRS last year were making payments back to people, they were coming from Wells Fargo, Bank of America, I believe, and one other. And that was the letterhead in which the responses back were coming from the IRS. There were three banking, the three QFS banks that are actually over it, what's actually taking place at the top level here in the United States. And those monies were being transferred back and forth through that bank, not going actually through the IRS. The IRS sent me a letter last year that I still have sitting about 5 feet away from me right now that says that they owe me over $20,000 from the year 2020. They were supposed to pay me back that money in 2021. They did not ever send me that money back. And I have yet to be able to speak to an individual at the actual IRS, period. Not gonna happen. So I am patiently waiting for all of this to turn around, because those monies that we did pay into the IRS, we will get back, because those were all illegally confiscated from us under fraudulent deceptional practices. So they tried to make it to where we had to pay them, but in the actual IRS code, even, it said it was all voluntary. But if you didn't pay it, then they went after you and criminally tried to prosecute you, take away your things, cause people to live in fear, where there's no voluntary act in any of that, if that's what they're actually doing. So the year 2000, Wall Street Journal did a full page ad on anyone that could actually show proof in the actual IRS code that says that you must pay from your actual wages, monies that you earned. And it was a $1 million prize. You can look it up today. It's still never been collected. There were people that were agents within the IRS that actually is like, I'm gonna collect that. I'll get this money, no problem. And started researching within their own company, trying to get that money. And in doing so, they actually quit the IRS because they found out that it was all a fraud. There are some really good documentaries out there on the internet right now that have not been taken down that talks about this exact thing. So it's all coming, and just hold on.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for that information. That makes me feel good. And I was hoping that was the case. And I'm also, you know, we're seeing so much on that, getting your sovereignty back, and then, you know, getting
you don't the original. you don't have to do that, because when we actually go from the constitutional law, and when we go into Jassara and Nassara, then that sovereignty is being restored to every single person. So anybody that's going through and doing that ahead of time, okay, that's great. But if you feel like that is something that you need to do, you don't. Because that is actually coming with the new Declaration of Independence that was signed July the 4th, 2020, by Donald J. Trump.
Thank you. That's great news. Well, I appreciate it. And I'll get off so somebody else can have a turn. I'm sure you're getting tired. Thanks so much, Captain Kyle.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Susan. Derek? Derek, you're unmuted. Derek, you'll need to unmute yourself.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Thank you for sharing that info. It's a very interesting, whether, you know, reading the Hannah von Reitz and the David Strait, and I get, and then when they're not on the same page, it kind of keeps you in stasis anyway, because you don't know which is the correct sovereignty status to go ahead and do. But I'm hopeful that you're absolutely right on that, and that you know.
So when the Republic,
anyway, which seems like the only right thing to me.
Yeah. So when the Republic is actually restored, and it will be, then a part of the actual Republic is the sovereignty of its people, as well as the individual states in governing themselves within the union. That's all a part of the sovereignty and sovereignty declaration. So you don't need to do it ahead of time, but if you do, all right. But don't think that you got to go and do it and pay money to get,
right.
You don't need to do that. It's all coming and everybody's going to get it. So it's right. All coming for everybody. If you're talking, I can't hear
that's
you.
Awesome.
You've got to break up.
Coming back to the IRS, which we know, and I am completely in agreement.
I'm losing you talking. I don't know if it's your mic or if it's your connection. Yeah, I can't hear you, Derek. Try going back out and then coming back in and raising your hand, and Kelly she'll get you back on. Okay.
Okay. The next person is Good to Know. Good to Know, you're unmuted. Just need to unmute yourself.
Good evening, guys. Thank you so much. God bless you guys. My question is about the 401k I have with Noble Gold. Now, how can I get my physical silver back from them, or how will I get it back? Because I'm not of age to retire, but I did quit my job, and I have a lot with them. And what about the charges that they have for holding it?
All right, so you have a IRA that's
yes.
with Noble Gold for your
my 401k and put it all in and bought physical silver.
Okay, so they actually have your physical silver. They actually have it in holding. And I would say you're pretty safe. It's always best if it's in your own possession. But because it is in a retirement account, there's no way for you to get it actually without taking the way the structured IRA and all that is right now, right? And until we change and goes into the QFS and down the road for that information to change, rules to change about it, then you're kind of stuck. But the good thing about that is that your IRAs and your 401ks are actually protected under the the way that the white hats are structuring the change in the financial system. So if you need money out of that IRA, then you can actually take a loan out against your own IRA. And in doing so, you can pay yourself back without penalties. So depending on how much you have, it's usually based off of the amount that you have inside of your accounts. And then you can actually take a loan out, pay yourself back into your own account and without penalty, right? And you can actually take out enough money to actually pay those payments if you're not working, which, you know, I don't suggest you doing that, especially if you don't have an actual income, that it's risky on, you know, not being able to make your own payments back to your, you know, own self. But if you have to, then you got to do what you have to do. And, you know, everybody has to make their own decisions on what risk that they're going to want to take, right? But you don't want to take out the penalties that you're actually having or withdrawing against it. Take a loan out against it in your own name as you're the actual loaner as well as the loanee, and you're paying yourself back. And in doing so, there is no penalty. You're just going to pay a small fee for the exercising of that draft.
Okay. So then, in other words, I could take out or borrow enough and make the payments to them, and then still have some off to the side to make payments until all of this rolls about.
Yes, I've done it twice already.
And that's with the IRA, not with, you know, your 401k.
You can do it with either. You can do it with any kind of actual retirement account. You just have to go in and set it up the way that you need to so that you can actually take a loan out against your own assets. And that's all it is, a loan out against your own assets.
Okay.
I did it against my own brokerage account, and I didn't pay any fees to it. I think it was a one-time actual setup fee. Wasn't very big. I took out a $20,000 thing, and this was back in 2020. And then last year, I took out another one just for, because I felt like it made things better.
Right.
Well, not that I needed it. It was just, I bought a lot of gold and silver and things like that, and I stacked it with my safe. So I did what I did. I was making more money that way in the long run. And so I don't care. It's my money. I do what I want with it.
Yes. God bless you. I mean, for all the information and all the help you've given all of us, you know, it's, I follow my gut and I listen to you and Whiplash and all of that faithfully. And you guys have never steered us wrong. I've been listening to Whiplash for years, and it's a shame people have lost their faith, you know. But I thank you for this hindsight.
And it's really, all this is meant to basically kind of spark your own way of thinking, and then being able to start thinking about these things for yourself and making decisions that normally, you know, people always try to take those decisions away from you. You need to do this and you have to do that, and they're not for your best interest. And so people just, you know, get in line and they do as they're told, right? But all of this has been geared towards, hey, these are options for you. Look at what you can do, and you can decide to do this, and you could decide to do that. And then as you start looking into it, you start learning things. And then as you start learning things, then it actually starts to say, you know, I never knew this. And, you know, I could do this. I didn't know I could do this. And it starts sparking that, you know, drive to educate yourself about options that you didn't even know you had. And that's really what this is all about, is sparking people's will to start learning. And when they do, they actually start sharing that information with other people just within their circles, man. And this is what it's all meant to do, is just help other people start using that creative thinking and that logical part of your mind that's been, you know, kind of subdued for so long, that once it starts to go again, you just start running with it. And that's a blessing. It really is. And I appreciate you.
Believe me, it's I woke up about 4 years ago as in hardcore, and I got into all of this, you know, with the currency and everything. Long story short, something kicked me off the couch to go in to go get the urgent care because I hurt myself on the job. Met my man who x-rayed me. He heard I was working two jobs, 7 days a week. Only day I had off was holidays. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to share something with you. And you can take it how you like it. So I'm like, you know, okay. You know, he showed me this while he was x-raying and going through everything. And he goes, if you're interested, come on back when you check out. Well, something told me. I ended up going back and sitting down and talking with him for probably 6 hours. And that was the spark that opened up everything. I started investing, getting into currencies, and I did my own research. Now I'm helping him with more information because I've dug so deep. And I, you know, like I said, God has ways for us to wake up. Why I got off that couch that day to go in and get checked out on a Saturday in urgent care, was that the push?
Praise
God. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, and now me and him are the closest ever, you know, it's beautiful. So if everybody just keeps the faith and follow your gut, there's a reason for everything and why you're introduced or why you meet someone or why you speak to someone. It's not just a coincidence. There is a reason for it. So
well, praise God. Thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
We all need each other. We're all connected. So God bless you guys. Thank you. Everyone stay safe and keep the faith.
Praise God. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is the lad. The lad, you're unmuted.
Thank you. I have a question that refers to the stock market. This question has been asked before, but I think the question may have been lost in translation. Kyle, do you have an opinion or any info on the AMC short squeeze? Some people think that this thing is going to go to $1,000, $5,000, $100,000, I've heard. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about that.
I do. And I did have a bunch of AMC. I did all that. I made a lot of money on all of it through, you know, GameStop and the whole nine yards, right? And I bought all that stuff at next to nothing. And yes, this is a part of the way that has been used to expose the corruption within the brokerage houses and how they've been manipulating and operating on shorting and laddering. You understand what laddering is, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And all of that is illegal. And they've been doing it for years on controlling prices of stocks for their benefit without ever transferring money at all. They'll put in the buys, they'll put in the sells, no money will ever transfer. The next brokerage house will undercut it, do the same thing. They will short it, and then the last company buys into it super huge. Then they divvy up the expenses for it. It's nothing more than an entire scam, and they've been caught multiple times on the shorts. And what's happened? They have been loaning money from the Fed to cover the stock market. You've seen how much money has been being loaned on these loans, right? It's absolutely insane the amount of money that they've been loaning to cover these hedges, because it's what they've been doing. And there's no way that they're ever going to be able to cover it all, because they never had the money to be able to actually purchase them. So whenever you go in and put in a purchase, you can actually do it under a loan, right? And the loan is actually 20%, I believe, is 20% the actual value of whatever you're actually putting out there. And then it's being hedged against the actual bet itself, right? And every time this actually takes place, they get deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole that eventually there is no recovery to. And that is what's coming. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how much that it's going to go up or how much it's going to do. I have no idea. I've gotten completely out of all of it. I have every one of my stock accounts are empty. I have my brokerage account, and it is nothing but cash on purpose. Because if the stock market was to crash over the weekend and go to nothing by the time it opens on Tuesday morning, then there's no way to recover. And I'm not going to take that risk on wanting to leave it out there until it starts to go down or something's going to happen. So all those trillions of dollars that's been lost over the last, 2 weeks, they didn't get a dollar of mine. So do what you think is best. Keep your research that you're doing. I'm not in no way advising you not to do what you're doing, but always remember that when the rug gets pulled, it's pulled. And so, like, when the Donald Trump came out with his company, the day it opened at, I think, $11, just under $12. And I got in that morning I had bought shares at, I think it was $12, just under $13. And I bought $42,000 in shares at $12. All right. Well, that afternoon at 4 o'clock, it hit $120. Well, I sold that one day. So the opportunities are there to make money, but it's also there to lose your butt right now. It's very volatile. And when they decide it's time to yank the chain on it, don't get caught on the wrong side of the street. That's all. I'm warning you about that. That's it. Just know what you're doing and the risk that you're taking. There is money to be made right now, but just be careful. All right.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to every single person on here. I love what you're doing, brother. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, next up is Derek.
Derek, you make it back?
Derek? Can you speak?
I just couldn't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can I? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was actually walking my dog before. I apologize.
Yeah, you were cutting out and we couldn't hear you, and I wanted to, so... All right, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. No, I and again, appreciate it. You're right on point with so many things. I just I wanted to make sure. Well, let me ask first of all. I'm looking at. I was talking about the IRS, which I agree with, and also we are expecting, of course, fraudulent, loans to go away. Are you seeing any correlation with, foreclosure loans being finally wiped and coming in? Because I'm hearing that Nassar was activated and gold was activated, and so that we should be we should be active under Nassar law as of last Friday. I don't know how true that is. It's hard to find any
confirmation of these kind of things at times, but I guess because I'm facing it, I'm looking to see hopeful about dates and something manifesting in that regard. So that's my question.
Okay, so until the actual public announcement, even if it was actually already implemented, until it's actually publicly made known, nothing is going to actually change as far as the way business are doing business right now. So if you're up against a potential foreclosure, do a bankruptcy, get it stayed. And in that will get wiped by the time that all takes place. So it's not a lot of money to save your property by doing a Chapter 13. I actually had a predatory lender do that to me back in 2008 when AIG went bankrupt. Well, I had a loan against my house. It wasn't it was a home improvement loan. I put a pool in, all that kind of stuff at a home improvement loan, right? My house was already paid off. So yep. The loan was through American General. American General was a subsidiary of AIG. All of a sudden, when AIG went belly up, we went down one day and we were trying to make a payment. I did it in person in the office once a month, and I showed up to drop off my check, and there was a sign on the door saying closed. That's it. No phone number, no nothing. You called the phone number, no answer. Then shortly, within a month, it was disconnected, and it was like, okay, what do I do, right? And so about 8 months went by. Nobody to talk to, nobody, nothing. And all of a sudden, I get a letter saying from a mortgage company says that we're the owner of the loan, and you're 8 months default. And because you're 8 months default, under the clause, we're exercising the immediate payment to be accelerated, meaning we want the full amount of money and within 30 days. I'm like, have you lost your freaking mind? So I call them and they said, no, you're in default. And I'm like, no, I hadn't had nobody to pay, whatever. And they said, no, you're 8 months behind. The last time you made a payment was this such a date and so on. So, and it was nothing more than a scam. So basically, yep. I had to do the same exact thing. I basically called my attorney, said, hey, what's the deal? They're like, hey, that's what's been going on all over the country. We'll file Chapter 13, structure it under the court, and we'll wait until the very last day and the last hour before they're actually going to seize your property, and we're going to give them the finger. And I said, that sounds good. So 9 o'clock on this following morning, when they were actually going to come to with the sheriffs to do a foreclosure and kick me out of my property, right? That evening at 6 o'clock, we filed it with the court for a Chapter 13 restructuring bankruptcy. Well, all that got stayed within the court. It went for about another 6 months or so before ever having a court appearance and all, so on and so forth. Well, that mortgage company, they never showed up. They ended up, they didn't want the actual loan. They wanted to steal my property, because then when everybody's financial, their homes and stuff was devaluing, mine was actually going up in value. So mm-hmm. It was like you see on where the state of Texas like missed that housing bubble thing. Well, everything in Texas is still going up. It's like it never happened here as far as the housing market, right? And yeah. So they were trying at certain places, Texas, Florida, Arizona. They were doing this on purpose, trying to scam people's properties out from under them and kick people to the curb, take their house, then sell it, and, double their profits on relatively, hardly investment, right? And yep. They ended up selling the note to another company because they didn't really want the note. They wanted the house. And it basically, I went through the court, paid it off, and it went away, right? So that is a protection that was put in place specifically for you against something like that. And it is relatively inexpensive. It's not a lot of money to actually go down that road, and it will protect you, and it will protect everything that you own. And
yes,
in looking in the eyes of creditors, when you do that and you actually pay it off like you're supposed to, it is actually a good thing and not a bad thing, because it all gets discharged properly and legally.
Well, actually, may I? Thank you for that. And I do know about that route. I'm hopeful to avoid that route. What was I going to say? I actually used the Anna Von Wright Sign in America program, which took our strawman accounts and from the U.S. Treasury, sent them a note, and it's you know, it should be paid off because it's obviously a zero to zero. They're digital, you know, fraud matched with the strawman that they stole it from in the first place, right? But yep. So it's just maddening that this stuff is still going on, and I it's maddening to me if we're, you know, the lawyers or the British Accredited Registry people are still active to me. It's just we keep hearing that things are getting done and things are getting done, and these people are continuing. But I do appreciate
they're operating under the basically like they're still going forward. But in reality, all of that is being taken care of in the background, and people's accounts are actually being wiped. People's student loans are being wiped. And mm-hmm. when it's time for it to be released for everybody, then it's already out there and is already taking place. But until actual public disclosure comes into effect, we're at the door. And as long as people can just keep on taking care of their information and things that they need to do, then it's going to happen, because it is actually already happening, but mm-hmm. it just hasn't happened for everybody, but it's going to.
Yeah, I'd like to see them have to, so many people have to be retrained at the minimum for what they've done to us. But appreciate that. And I do have a little time, and I do have someone I think that could help me if that's the route I have to go. I'm hopeful I can avoid it, but we'll see what, you know, God has in mind for us. Last thing I was
going to keep your trust in him, and it'll all work out. It really does.
Yeah. I liked what Emily said. And by the way, I had to answer some people that were pretty ignorant in some other channels saying that, they're not even listening or reading what she's actually saying. But I like what she said about the fact that when we see these dates for Protocol 19, it's possible that this is actually really done ahead of time, and it seems like the next two weekends have potential, I should say. So I'm hopeful anyway.
So yes, all of the things that we're seeing in the public eye have either already been done or have already gone through everything in the stages prior to it before the public is ever going to see it. Okay. And that is 110% on spot accurate.
Awesome. I'm hopeful, you know, that the last thing is the tough thing for someone like me who's currently unemployed in addition and waiting is that it feels like, you know, CTGX looked like it could have been like at least a partial, even though it's a long-term hold, I understand that, like a partial bridge. So I think that's partially why people were a little hurt. They were hopeful that there seemed like there was a date for it. But I understand what you were saying, and it makes 100% sense that, you know, we have to hang in there a little bit longer as well. So appreciate it, Kyle. Thank you so much.
Yes. Hey, and don't ever let anybody tell you that we're all in the same boat, because we're not. We're all in the same storm, but we're not on the same boat, all right? And I do have compassion for the things that you're going through, and we are all going through different things, and we're all here for each other. Always remember that.
Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate that. I'm just trying to hang on to my family because they don't understand everything I've accidentally put them through without meaning to, but so such is life. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Kelly, you there?
Yes, I am. Okay, the next up is Bass DR2. Bass, you're unmuted.
Thank you so much for doing this again, Kyle. I have a question. I know our states were going to be more sovereign, and the 14 or the 17%, you know, goes to the government. How are the states going to finance their things? We live in state of Washington, and we're taxed to death as it is right now. How do you envision the states funding themselves?
So the tax is not just going to the federal government. It's also going to the states. And the current situation is going to be divided up between the needs of the states as well as the federal government. The federal government is never meant to survive on the actual taxes of the individuals. That was actually through the commerce and trade. So going forward, the states are going to be well taken care of just as well as the federal government, but it's going to be in a much smaller capacity because most of it is wasteful bureaucracy.
Amen. And I maybe see some of the humanitarian projects being able, you know, for locally being able to fund some of that stuff.
Well, yes, but there won't be a need for a lot of the services that are out there that are wasteful spending.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, and then some regulations out the yin yang. So thank you so much. And thank you for all that you do. I really appreciate you guys.
Okay. Next up is RG, you're unmuted. And we'll move on and maybe she can come back and when she can speak. Josie Ruiz. Josie, you're unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My question is, I have quite a bit of assets on lobster. How am I to tell which are good? Are the ones with no domain, are they bad? And are there going, well, I've heard some stuff like a lot of them aren't going to be any good. How do we know which are good and which aren't?
On that right there, I would say that you need to stick with the original domains, the TOML files that are the first in asset and the creator of that actual asset and not the duplicates off of it.
Okay.
So stick with the original investments.
The ones that WIP has told us about, are they going to be good?
If they're a part of the actual commodities and the banking systems and the interstellar the cross-border transfers along with, like, you know, how XRP does and different stuff, then yes, those are going to be good. But there are going to be some tokens and things that are out there that are going to have value, but they're going to be valued as in some type of, like, a transfer to, like, a whiskey or things. There's going to be different things that people are going to use, like a beer token. And how they use those, I'm not really for sure going forward, but they're going to have value. But those are not things that I would actually put my funds in personally.
Right. Right. So how do we know if they do not have a domain? Does that make it not good?
I wouldn't trust it.
Okay. So I should take it off if it doesn't have a domain.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it. My own thing is, if I stay within a structured protocol of the top investments that are out there, within what's being supplied by the list, and specifically like WIP's actually putting out there and Emily's doing the research on, then yeah, I would say those are good. Why? Because they are based off of an actual commodity or a trade of some type and how that's all structured together. But right. When you start getting into these added ones, I don't know where they're going to have their value yet.
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
Okay. And so my money's not going in on it.
Right.
That's just my personal. Yes.
Right. Yeah, we feel the same way. And yeah, we have been following what Whip and Emily have been putting out there. So that's what we have been investing in. So I'm praying that those are good.
All right. So just think, if you've got two or three of those that actually go to 1 or 2 cents, what do you think that's going to do for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to make you a billionaire.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we hope.
Don't sweat it, and don't go crazy either, because you don't need to.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm done as far as getting any. But I was worried because there's so much garbage out there right now that people are putting.
So, you know, like the payments, you know, that come out every, you know, every day, the drops that come. And I do those conversions into Aqua. And then from my Aqua, I actually purchase other stuff with them. Like with the Aqua today, I bought the CTGX.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. I've been stacking them up.
I don't know, 15 or 20 of them just from Aqua.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to do that too. So you suggest to do that too. So I definitely going to try that, because I didn't know what to do with the Aqua. I was just stacking them, you know.
Yeah, so, you can actually buy other stuff with them.
Right. And yeah.
So I bought, yes. Well, you know, you're not trading, or you're just going to swap for them, right?
I'm just going to swap them. Yeah.
That's what I did with mine. Yeah. I put a picture of it today on the page on where I went low, when it went low on the cost for CG. I'm getting tired now. I used that Aqua to purchase it.
Okay. Yeah. So do you happen to know the right domain? I think I have it, but I just want to see what you tell me for CTGX.
Look on my channel and I have it on there. Okay. From where I did a swap today from Aqua to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw that. I'll check it
out. That's the right one.
Okay. Thank you so much. And you've definitely relieved some of my mind, because I was a little worried because there's so much junk going around out there. And I've been following WIP for a couple of years now. So I want to keep the faith, you know, and just so much junk, you know, people are saying, and, you know.
Stay out of the weeds.
I am. I'm trying.
And you don't have to worry about that. No, just stay out of the weeds.
Exactly.
Seriously, don't. If you're listening to that kind of stuff, it's doing nothing but negative. Just
yes.
Get away from it.
Yes.
It's absolutely a by choice, right? You don't have to listen to that stuff. If people are saying bad things, leave. It's choice.
That's what I was telling my son. So, you know, I'm glad I got to talk to you today because it's relieved my mind.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you too.
So Josie, I noticed also it's very hard to find the certain assets, and I had a hard time finding that, like, what is it, the CTGX, and I saw on some of the comments on QSI, somebody shared a QRS code, so what I had to do was take that from, like, you have to have two different devices to use that, and it'll pull it up on Lobster, but it's very hard to find them for some reason. I don't know why now it's really difficult to find them, but that's how I found it, the right one, because you got to check the asset holders too, because some of them look exactly like it, like Indus.gold, and it's got a capital I, but it's only got like 2,000 asset holders. So you just got to be sure you're getting the right one. And with that, we'll move on to Bill McKenzie.
Wait. Can I ask my question? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, RG. I'm sorry. Yes, now I see it unmuted. RG and then Bill.
Thank you, Kelly. My button didn't release right away. And then all of a sudden, when Josie was talking, the button released and I got a blue button. So that was so weird. But thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everybody, for being on the chat. My question is, on SDEX, on the CTGX asset, they've taken away to add the trust line, and you know, I can't drag it into Lobster. And so I looked on QSI resources, because everybody always says, you know, to go and look on QSI or what, and I tried, but it doesn't tell me. It doesn't tell me how to add the trust line to get it from SDEX to Lobster. And a few people on the chat right now are having that issue. I didn't know, Kelly, that somebody had posted the QR code, and I'd like to get a hold of that. If that QR code could get posted some, you know, that I can just scan
that. If you want to DM me, I'll send you the QR code. But so what you have to do is have, like I said, two different devices.
Yeah,
so like
I do.
What I did, all right, I pulled it up on my laptop, and then I used the QR, you know, the QRS code thing in the add assets, and that's how I was able to do it. So right. I'll just DM me, or I have your DM, and I'll send it to you.
Okay. And is there any way, though, is there any way to add the trust line?
I don't know. Things have changed so much. Like, it used to be where if you pulled it up on this SDEX or Explorer, it would say, give you an option to add trust line. I don't see that option anymore. So I'm having a hard time as you.
It's been replaced with a warning sign. A warning comment.
Yeah, it's like they're making it impossible to buy it. So I tried to find SunGold today. I couldn't find it for the life of me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, Kelly. If you could do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everyone.
Sure thing. And Bill McKenzie, you'll be the last question. Okay. You're unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just a couple of comments. So you can use Scopely website to add trust lines if you can't find them on SDEX. And okay. This goes to the caller two calls ago, Rosie Ruiz. So she's finding that her domains aren't showing up in her lobster. That's usually because it's an induced exchange domain, and it's not showing up for any tokens. So don't sell it. Just keep it. I'm sure if you've been following WIP, don't sell it.
That's,
okay?
Yeah, that's why I said if it's one that is an actual asset that was spelled out specifically what it is, then yeah. But if it's one that you might have picked up that you're not really sure about, then I wouldn't sweat it on that kind of situation. But if it's one that you know that you got and a time when it was all good, then I wouldn't do anything with that. But if it was one that you just kind of was out there and you weren't sure about, I wouldn't.
Well, the problem is that the domains aren't showing up in Lobster now. So it's saying domain not set by issuer. That's the problem. So you don't know if it's good or not. Now, there is a way to check. You can go check the issuer QR, you know, the whatever that you call the, you know, the 36. What's that?
The Tomo file for it?
Yeah. Yeah. So my question is, so when the event happens and things go to zero, supposedly, and, you know, we have this great awakening, how are we going to actually get prices back to 1950? And I mean, here's a hypothetical. So let's say I go buy a house tomorrow for $1 million. And then the event happens, and now my house is only worth $100,000. What happens? Am I out $900,000?
Well, how would you be out $900,000 if you were in a loan that was a fraudulent loan?
Well, you're assuming I'm taking a loan out.
Well, I would assume that, unless you were, you know, paying for it cash, but normally. That's not you don't spend your own money for an asset like that. You actually spend someone else's and invest your money. Correct?
Minimize your costs. It depends if you really want, you know, really want that asset. So, I mean,
yeah.
If I have the cash, I'm going to pay for it because, you know, I don't want to have any problems with a mortgage company.
Yeah, I understand that. So basically, when the price corrections actually happen, that's going to be based off of the actual buying power of a dollar. And when that changes, right now, you actually have the buying power of a dollar being 16 cents. So when that buying power goes to back to a dollar, then prices are going to have to be adjusted for that. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because inflationary prices are going to have to be adjusted for back to where they were. So if you were in the market to be buying a house right now, you wouldn't be very wise to. But if you're in the market to be selling, I'd sell it in a heartbeat.
Clearly. I'm just
only
wondering
because
how
you're in the understanding of that, right?
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, I don't. So one day you're a seller of a house at $1 million, and the next day you have to lower your price to $100,000. I don't see how that's going to happen. I don't understand that.
Well, it's the same thing that when you're revaluing the dollar itself and you're all of a sudden gaining the ability that your dollar goes further. Everything has to be adjusted for that. So you're talking about a revaluation of currency, and all of a sudden currency is going to be valued back to its actual dollar value, where it's actually valued right now at about 16 cents buying power. So actually you're using that 16 cents to buy a house today when you shouldn't be spending that amount of money for it. You're actually just turning over that much money for something that is the value of $100,000. Your money's really only worth so much.
Okay, so then, so what you're saying is that prices really aren't going to change. It's just that our money's going to go further.
Yes and no. So prices will actually adjust back lower because your monies will be actually in a different capacity on actually how much you have. So the adjustment for, and I've heard different talks about how the government's going to do it. It's going to be in a couple steps as far as how they make those adjustments to eliminate the fraudulent inflation that's been put upon the American people and the consumers. And how are you going to get that adjustment back? Well, every loan that you've ever paid for, every interest payment you've ever paid on credit cards, all of that monies are going to be coming back to you. So do you have the potential on losing in a housing market? Yes. All right. So say that the RV didn't happen, right? And you went out and you spent $1 million on a house that is in an overinflated value for a piece of property for a housing bubble. All right. And then all of a sudden the housing bubble crashes like it did back in 2008 and 2009. And now you had people that were in California with $1.5 and $2 million houses that actually were being evaluated at $500,000. And they were upside down in their note so bad that they couldn't even get rid of it. That actually took place.
Yeah, I remember. I'm old enough.
So that's kind of the same situation, but you're actually not going to be on the losing end of it, but you're still going to be on the gaining end of it, because now actually money and value has got a backstop of something that is real and something with real value, and you're going to get money back. So you're in this whole situation, even if you were to say lose in the stock market crashing, the monies that you're going to get back and all of the other things that were stolen from you, you're going to actually come out in the end well above wherever you were.
Well, okay. I'm just having a hard time understanding how someone's gonna, who's offering a house at $1 million one day, and is gonna have to sell it at $100,000 the next day.
If they're gonna sell it the next day at $100,000, when $100,000 is actually $100,000. And right, not actually $1 million at the value of 16 cents.
Right. So there's going to be an adjustment period, is what you're saying, because
yes, we are going to go through it. It's not going to be all of a sudden.
Just using the housing market, you know. So the sellers are going to, they're going to resist lowering their price by 90%. They're going to resist that initially, and then they're going to have to be told or educated that, okay, yes, you know, you're going to have to lower it, but the reality is it's the same kind of money as it was before. You're going to get you know, your full value out of your house.
Right. So if you, and that exactly what you just said. So what is the value of your house? It's only a speculation, right? Until somebody actually comes along and purchases it, right? And until somebody purchases it, it's only a speculation. So if you say your house is worth $300,000 or $500,000, but you can't sell it, then It's not worth that. Whether it is or it isn't, if you can't sell it, then it's not worth that, right? No matter what it is. So if all of a sudden the housing market and all of the things are now saying that this is what the valuation of things are, and then you're still saying, oh, I'm still going to sell my house at $500,000. Well, you can sell your house at $500,000 if you want to. And if somebody comes along and wants to buy it that bad, well, then you can actually sell it for that much. But if nobody comes along and buys it, well, then you're going to have to adjust your price to the market is going to tell you what you're going to sell it for, right?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of how it's going to correct itself over a period of time. And I think that that period of time is going to take somewhere between a year to potentially 2 years for the full adjustment.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's not going to be one day, but another, but it's going to be an adjustment period, and it's going to be driven by the market on everything.
Right.
But all of a sudden your value of your money goes up, and you're going to say, I ain't paying that much for that. And other people are going to say the same thing, right? And then the sellers are going to have to adjust based off of the consumers, right? Whether it be vehicles, whether it be houses, clothes, anything, right? And that period of time is going to be a learning curve for everybody, but it's going to be driven by the consumers. And when consumers are educated that now it's not 16 cents for the dollar, it's actually a dollar, you're going to say, I ain't buying it for that. You lost your mind. You need to fix your price. And as they don't sell things, people are going to fix their prices.
Right.
And everything will, of course, adjust based off of value. Same thing happened with when you started getting inflation, right? And when we went to the petrodollar in the 70s, then all of a sudden, they started giving you more money as they were devaluing the currency. You were thinking that I'm making more money. But in reality, they were devaluing the currency. So you had to be paid more to offset the devaluation of it as they were taking it away from you. It was a sleight of hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember, gasoline at like 40 cents.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, myself as well. And so it's going to be an adjustment period. And those are good questions on how you're actually approaching how it's going to happen, right? And so it's going to be driven by the market. And the market is the consumers. And when the consumers are educated on the value of their money and how far it should go versus what it was going, then they're going to refuse to pay crazy prices because they're going to be the ones holding the power because they're the ones having the money. It's like me when I go to a car dealership. They want to make you think that you need them. I don't need you. You need me. And if you don't want to sell me your vehicle, then I can get that same vehicle anywhere. And I don't need you for a loan either because I don't have to worry about my credit because I can pay for whatever I want to on however much I want to pay. So the whole context of me walking onto a lot or walking off to a lot is driven by me and not them. But they don't want you to know that.
No, they don't.
They make you feel like that you need them, right? And that is a reverse tactic that they've been using for a long time. And as consumers get educated, which they will, and as the RV and the monies actually change and people become financially more well-to-do, their mindset will change of that they're not that need. I don't need you. And going in there going, man, I hope I can get this loan. I hope they can get me bought, right? That whole mindset's going to change with people. And when it does, the sellers are going to have to adjust when that mindset changes. And it will very quickly.
So I remember a comment you made a couple of weeks ago about Ford being stealthily creating new cars with energy-free engines? Is that something that you can talk about?
So there's many actual, so everybody wants to think that there's a chip problem, right? And in new vehicles and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you're going to start changing technology, then you need to get rid of the old technology out there, and you need to create a crisis for that to happen, right? And they're not manufacturing all these new cars out there on the market, because once new technologies start coming out, all of that old technology, nobody's going to want to buy anymore. So with free energy, that is energy that's based off of the ether, correct? And if you have an electric vehicle that does not need to be tethered to be charged, then that vehicle is now 100% free electricity, because it can be being charged at the same time it's operating. And once that kind of technology actually gets fully implemented and released, gasoline and those engines will be off the market relatively quickly. I actually work in the industry, and I have seen how the petrochemical industry and the refining industry has changed over the last 2 years before the implementation of some of the new strategies actually taking place. I can't talk about too much of it because of what I do, and if I do, I could get myself in trouble. But I watched our company actually change its direction on how it was structuring for its assets globally. And it was getting out of the refining industry as a profit-based industry and moving its assets into the chemical side, where the refineries were going to be there as a support system for the chemical facilities themselves. And the refineries that are going to be left are going to be subsidized by the federal government to be there as support systems for chemicals as we change technologies away from a carbon-based technology to a crystalline-based technology and to different manufacturing capabilities. And all of that is actually taking place.
It's an exciting time to be alive.
Yes, and once I saw my company actually change its global direction and actually take losses in its refining capabilities, getting rid of refineries worldwide, and only keeping certain refineries that were integrated into a chemical facility, as well as building new chemical facilities, I was like, why are they doing this? And then as I started to learn why they were doing it and why they were keeping certain facilities, and how the refining industry was going to still be able to survive when that would make chemicals so expensive you couldn't get things, right? And so basically all of your ethylene, propylenes, propidienes, ethyl oxide, all these kind of chemicals are made off of the off use of the light ends from hydrocarbons that the refineries don't use when they're using for making diesel fuel and gasolines and jet fuels and all these other things, right? Well, when I found out that the federal government is going to be subsidizing the refineries and becoming partners with the refineries so that they're not based off of profit, they're based off of functionality for the chemical facilities, I was like, okay, now that makes sense. And then I saw our facility actually get purchased, the refining side of it got purchased by a government company. 100% owned by the government. I was like, oh, you're shitting me. And sure enough, it happened.
So are you a reader?
It's all happening.
Are you a reader of books? Are you a reader of books?
I don't read the books, but I do like audiobooks and stuff like that. But yes, I do like books. Yes.
Because there's a trilogy, now it's a quadrilogy, called The Sands of Time by Sean David Morton. And I'll let you, if you and everyone out there, to go and read these books. This is someone who's good friends with Carrie Cassidy. And
oh yes, I love her to death.
Blew my mind, okay? And I'll let everyone who reads these books decide whether they're real or not. Excuse my son in the background. He's special. He's just having a good time.
It's so, all good. All yeah. good.
So don't
worry about him at all.
No,
he's a blessing.
He's connected to God already.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And never have to apologize for him ever.
He's my greatest mentor. He has taught me everything I know, pretty much.
Amen. So, like I said, never apologize for him ever, ever.
Well, I just, you know, he makes a lot of noise, but he doesn't talk. So
it's all good.
Go
figure. Whenever I heard him, I already knew. I felt it exactly. So I was all good. You're good.
Well, thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. And this was a great way to end this call tonight. I appreciate your questions. They weren't just, you know, bullshit questions and that you wanted to understand. And the questions also help other people understand things that they may not even know how to ask those questions. And they were very good questions. And I appreciate you challenging the answers for an understanding. That's what's important, because if I answered you and you didn't understand, or you didn't get an understanding to it, then I feel like I let you down and I let everybody else down as well.
Well,
I guess Tucker's he approved.
Tucker says okay.
Oh. Yeah, I think he approved. Well, praise God. Thank you, Bill. And that was a great way to end the call tonight. I thank everybody that came. And I thank you, Kelly. As usual, I couldn't do this without you. I appreciate you very, very much. Thank you. God has put you in my life for a purpose, just as everybody else. And I will post this right after it gets downloaded to me. And God bless you all. And everyone have a wonderful, safe Memorial weekend, and enjoy time with your family. Love you all. Good night.
Thank you, Kyle. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Bill.